This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and I'm here in London with Dean Richards, MBE, World Player of the Year 1991 in rugby, played in 3 World Cups, won 3 Grand Slams, and as a coach, won for his team 2 European titles and 4 domestic titles. Dean, it's so good to have you with us here.
Thank you very much, Karen. I'm delighted to be here.
When I was here in March, I had the opportunity to go to the King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery, and it was really amazing to me because I hadn't realized that you have to maintain these horses and their precision and skills and health and well-being, you know, 360 days a year, and the time and attention and the team that it takes to be able to do that. And then when you put this coronation together and you have every single military group that has a role, a ceremonial role in this, it's really quite amazing to think of all the preparation that goes into it.
Yeah, and the relationship forming isn't just between the soldiers. It's between the, you know, the riders and the horses as well. To have that bond with the horse is key to a lot of it, because the horse has to have the trust in the rider, and the rider likewise with the horse, and has to understand what the horse is going to do at certain times. And so the relationship is right across the board, and that understanding and that trust element is there through and through.
And you happen to be a fan of horse racing.
I love horse racing. I mean, there was 2,000 guineas at the weekend with Frankie winning, which is fantastic, on a horse which is the son of Frankel. And Frankie's last year as well. Frankie Dettori's last year. Delighted for him as well. So, yeah, I am. And whether it's over the sticks or on the flat, I just think they're incredible animals. And to carry what they carry, sometimes over 3 or 4 miles or even at speed over 5, 6, 7 furlongs, they're incredible animals, and you just got to take your hat off to them.
We are both ambassadors for the Armed Forces Equine Charity, which benefits veterans. What is the connection here between the Armed Forces Charity and the bond between horse and person?
Yeah, well, it's all about helping people who have been disadvantaged in some way, shape or form to get back to some sort of normality, or just help them in general. It doesn't matter what the disability or which way you've been disadvantaged. It's been shown numerous times that ability to use an animal to help somebody, whether it be through riding or just actually being around an animal, it can be a lift to them, and it could build confidence, and it could just open their life up for them, which is what it's all about. It's just giving them an opportunity to experience something that they probably don't normally experience or haven't experienced before, but at the same time gaining that experience to gain that confidence to lift your head up a little bit and stand a little bit taller.
Thank you so much for being with us, Dean.
Thank you very much indeed, Karen.
All right, thank you for that. And you hear that music at Tuesdays at 9:40 Pacific time. That means it's time to check in with our friends at salesporttalk.com. Once again in studio, great to have her with us from salesporttalk.com, Patty Mangan. How you doing, Patty?
I'm doing great. Is the mic on?
The mic is on. Can you hear yourself?
No.
You can't hear yourself. That's all right.
That's all right.
Maybe you need to turn the volume up or plug it in. You know, actually, we'll get. Can we get her? I don't know. Is the volume up over there? Can you hear yourself now? You can hear yourself now?
I can hear you. I can hear both of us.
All right. There it is. Live radio, ladies and gentlemen. And we're quite happy to bring in Tad Sheldon from the South Beach Yacht Club right here in San Francisco. Of course, that's right behind Oracle Park where the Giants play. But he and his wife, Libby, do the Great Loop. And the Great Loop is something that you can find out more at salesporttalk.com. And it's something that I didn't even know about, but it's pretty fascinating. Tad, welcome to the show. If you can, in a nutshell, kind of take us through the geography and the itinerary of the Great Loop, please.
Yeah, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. And it's kind of interesting to, after looking at the Salesports and seeing that it's mostly about sailing, but this is quite a bit about stink potting on power boats. But so it's an honor to be here. The Great American Loop is essentially, in a nutshell, circumnavigating the eastern third of the United States and part of Canada. Most people, a lot of people start off in Florida, and you wind up going up the intercoastal waterway up the coasts of Georgia, the Carolinas, all the way up into New York, and then you wind up going up the Hudson River, the Erie Canal. Then some people cut off up to halfway down the Erie Canal up to Oswego. You go through Canada and Ontario across the Trent Severn Waterway, which winds up dumping you into the north part of Georgian Bay from Lake Ontario. Then you go through Lake Huron to Lake Michigan, through Chicago down the river system. You wind up on the Mississippi for a little ways, and then you duck up the Ohio River. You go the Ohio River to the Tennessee River, then to the Tombigbee Waterway, and then down to Mobile, Alabama, and the Gulf Coast, and back to Florida.
Whew. That's quite a trip there. Now you have done the first 2,000 miles from Maryland to Mackinac.
That's correct.
And how long did that take you to do that?
We took our time. It took about 3 months. It's essentially it's a kind of a seasonal trip if you think about it. The Great Lakes freeze over in the wintertime, so obviously you don't want to be up there in the wintertime. You wind up in the Great Lakes in the summertime. You wind up going down the river system in the fall. You're down in the Gulf Coast, Florida, Georgia, even into the Carolinas during the wintertime, and then you're working your way up the intercoastal on the eastern seaboard in the springtime up through New York and the Hudson River. So it's very much a seasonal trip.
Now, from the time that I've been on river systems, and it's nothing close to you, there are a lot of times when there are locks and there are rapids and maybe there's commerce that don't want you guys in the way. What are some of those most difficult spots that maybe give you a little bit of nerves when you're like, here we go?
I think one of them was going through the lift locks on the Trent Severn Waterway. Lift locks are really interesting. They're actually, if you can Google Peterborough lift lock and you'll see what I'm talking about, but essentially they're for lack of a better word, a tank that you drive your boat into that sits on top of the shaft. And essentially it's like an elevator shaft with water in it that raises you up to, 80 feet. So you're sitting on top of this thing, looking over the tops of the trees when you were looking up at them a little while ago. And then they open up the gates and on you go. That's one of them. But that's probably one of the most unusual locks. Another one is the Great Great Whaleway. It's essentially custom made rail car that you have to put your boat on that goes about a quarter mile and drops down about 100 feet and goes from the Lake Ontario watershed down to the Lake Huron watershed.
Wow.
That's the Great Whaleway. And then there's, of course, the standard locks. In terms of rapids and that sort of thing, obviously, if you're in a trawler or a powerboat or a sailboat, you're not going to want to go down a set of rapids. They're pretty well marked in terms of where the locks are. The dams pretty much allow you to know where not to go. There was a case last year where somebody made a mistake and went the wrong way on Mississippi on a Catalina 38 and actually lost their boat in a set of rapids there. But that's very rare.
Wow. So the reason we know about this is you made a great presentation at South Beach Yacht Club and really opened my eyes. I talked to loopers before and never had a real sense of it. And you really brought a lot of detail, a lot of support. And I've added that to our post on Sailsport Talk. But I know that you and Libby are doing this and that you've got 4,000 miles still to go. Are you going to take your time and do this in one trip or two trips?
We're going to do it in one trip. We're going to start off this summer. We're planning to go back into Lake Huron and Georgian Bay because we were a little time limited there and we skipped some spots that we wanted to see. So we're going to go back and see those spots. But then coming back down through Lake Michigan, I'm not sure whether we're going to go the Michigan side or the Wisconsin side, but we're going to wind up in Chicago. The issue this year with all of the people who are doing the loop, and by the way, you call those people loopers, the issue that all the loopers have this year is that the Illinois River is being closed because of a bunch of lock maintenance that's going on there. A lot of these locks are over 100 years old, and they're actually having to be rebuilt for a lot of them. So that's being done by the Army Corps of Engineers. But they're not opening that waterway till the end of September, September 30th. So we're going to wait and hang around in the Great Lakes until the end of October before we start heading down the river system. But then we expect to be down in the Gulf by Thanksgiving, and then around in Florida, and then back up the eastern seaboard where we wind up crossing our wake in Maryland in the springtime.
Where would you say, Tad, we're speaking, by the way, once again with Tad Sheldon from the South Beach Yacht Club about the Loop. What are one or two of the absolute jewels, like, you know, going down the Rhine River, like that type of view that you get?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities. You know, the one or two jewels, I would say, just because I kind of grew up in the area and I'm aware of it, and we were able to spend some time in it last summer. The Georgian Bay and that area in northern Canada, southern Canada, but in northern Lake Huron, is a phenomenally beautiful area. It's a lot of granite rock, a lot of little areas carved out by the glaciers from the Ice Age, and there's tens of thousands of anchorages and islands and little fjords and places where you can go off and just get yourself lost and not see anybody for a few days. That's one area. I think another spot for us was actually coming through New York Harbor in your own boat past the Statue of Liberty was probably a big highlight for us. We were, you know, everybody remembers 9/11, and to just be there and looking over and seeing the new World Trade Center, the Statue of Liberty, and realizing, you know, that there's a lot there, and it was a pretty emotional moment for us.
I'd like to talk about community. You mentioned during your presentation that it's a constantly moving yacht club, basically. In terms of yacht clubs being just a collection of people who are into boating, and you've made friends, but you also mentioned like 150 completed. So I know that the completion aspect is logged into some kind of app. But tell us about the community.
It's really an interesting community. A lot of different people, a lot of different walks of life from a lot of different parts of the country. We met some folks from Australia and from Europe who were doing the Loop last year. Last year, about 220, maybe a little more than 220, crossed their wake finishing the Loop last year, and we met a lot of those folks. It's a really remarkable group of people. I mean, just like a yacht club is based on, you all have a similar liking for boating or sailing or racing or whatever the focus of your yacht club is. This one is about the Great American Loop. It's easy to identify each other in a couple of ways. Number one, we all fly the same burgee. It's a swallowtail burgee. It has three different colors. It's white for somebody who's just starting off. It's gold for somebody who's completed it once, and it's platinum for somebody who's done it more than once. But you have a lot of people, some people who are just brand new to boating and never been on boats before. Other people have, like myself, grew up on boats and really understand it. And we all just like any cruising community, really hang together pretty well. If we're in a dock, a lot of times you'll get stuck in one place for because of weather or there's a lockdown or something like that. And we all communicate pretty well with each other and through the American Great Loop Cruisers Association, the AGLCA. It's a really wonderful organization. And there's some pretty fun times on the docks at the end of the day, too, where we all get together for docktails, go out to dinner together. And, you know, you're meeting somebody new just about every day.
I love docktails. Just enough time for one more question. The Selkie, your boat, I'm just looking at it and I'm jealous. It looks like multi-deck. I mean, it's really beautiful. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's a Katie Krogan 39. It's the smallest boat that Katie Krogan made. They stopped making them in 2004. I think about 42, no, yeah, about 42 of them were manufactured, but it's made over in Kaohsiung, Taiwan, like some of the other big trawlers are. It's just a really nice, comfortable boat for a couple to be on. You can have a couple of guests on there for a few days, but then it's just like garbage. It starts to get a little uncomfortable after a while. So it really works well for us. It's got a long, it carries a lot of fuel, so it's easy to go fuel up at the less expensive places. It carries a lot of water. It's just a really self-sufficient, very seaworthy power boat.
Well, everybody, you can check it out at sailsporttalk.com. More about the Loop, and we've been speaking with Tad Sheldon, who with his wife Libby gets to live this dream. Good stuff. Thanks for coming on, Tad. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Fun talking.
Yeah, we'll come back to you.
Yeah, and Patty, as always, thanks for coming in. Nice to see you.
Bet, Rick.
Once again, sailsporttalk.com. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll come back on the other side on Sports Byline.